May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what theme can we draw from the gospel account today? The reading instructs us on the need to be humble and approach our Saviour with an expectant faith to cure all our sufferings. This faith, we know, is a gift from God. But even those who have been chosen are not guaranteed salvation if they do not exercise this gift. Without persevering with this gift, we even run the risk of falling short of God's plan for us and falling into the eternal oblivion of hell, where the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see today the humility of both the leper with an expecting faith who said, Lord, if thou wilt, or better if we say, Lord, if thou wants, thou canst make me clean. Jesus thus responded to this living faith and healed this leper of his disease in both body and soul. We also see the humility of the centurion with an expectant faith who says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus thus responded to this living faith and healed the disease in both the body and soul of the servant, but from a distance. These are the familiar words we hear each week when the priest holds up Jesus Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, before we have the words, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who would have thought that these solemn words given by the centurion would be recorded by the evangelist and used in the liturgy at the Holy Mass, this act of humility throughout the course of time? We need to imitate the faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is our model of faith, her living faith. She followed Jesus, her son, right up to Calvary. Mary considered also, as we read in the Gospel at the Annunciation, when the angel spoke to her on God's behalf. When she heard them words from the angel in the holy house at Nazareth, she reflected and she was humble because her faith was deep as the ocean. When Mary was sure that the word was spoken through the angel was from God, she firmly believed that he would accomplish all the angel had foretold about the miraculous conception of the Saviour in her womb. She thus believed it without trying to understand it fully. Do not seek, therefore, to understand all the mysteries of our faith, which propose to you, such as the Holy Trinity, the mystery of the perpetual virginity of Our Lady, and also the real presence of Jesus Christ in what appears to be a tiny wafer. If you understood these fully, then where would be the mystery? It is enough for you to believe that these are true. Why? Because our faith tells us so. God has revealed these truths to us through revelation and the dogmas of the Catholic Church. We must believe first, and then we can understand more and more with God's grace. Consider also in the Holy Scriptures the faith of Abraham. Had not God revealed to him that his descendants would be as many as the grains of sand on the seashore, yet he was asked, if we remember, to sacrifice his only son who could enact this promise. Have we got this living faith then, as we read and also in chapter 11 in St. Mark's Gospel? Amen, I say to you, that whoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not waver in his heart, but believe that whatsoever he shall ask, it shall be done unto him. Or are we lukewarm in our faith? Although we have an enormous grace to be baptized as Catholics and to be the new chosen race, if we do not have this living faith, we run the risk, as we said before, of losing out and being cast outside of God's kingdom. Others will come from the outside and be healed, like the leper and the pagan Roman centurion and his servant, to fill our places. It is the perennial teaching of the Catholic Church that God wants all men to be saved, but we must exercise the greatest gift from God, and this is our free will, to correspond to the graces that God has given us and say yes to the Almighty. Unfortunately, today many say no and have lost the faith. What do we need today now, brothers and sisters in Christ, but a huge wake-up call to bring us to our faith? This is what we need. We have a huge loss of faith. Are we now to suffer the consequences in this deluge of sin which we are living in? What we need to beg for, and this is a private revelation, and this is being talked about at the moment, is something called an illumination of conscience, or a warning, which is being spoken, and this carries weight because we have saints, blessed, and servants of God talking about this. What are we talking about, this warning? This would be a great act of mercy by God to save a vast number of souls. We are not bound to believe these private revelations, but we have this coming grace to the world, which has been prophesied, they say, in what will be a most singularly astonishing event since Pentecost. The mystic and stigmatist called Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, who was revered by the popes for her accuracy of her prophecies, referred to this as an illumination of conscience. One of the greatest saints in English history in the Protestant revolt was called Saint Edmund Campion, and he was the first to refer to this prophecy. He said, and he was a great Jesuit, he referred to this as a day of change, when the terrible judge should reveal all men's consciences. Servant of God, Maria Esperanza, called this a great day of light, when all the consciences of all will be shaken and the hour of decision of mankind will be at hand. This is also given to us, also in the great messages of the divine mercy by Jesus to a nun in the 20th century, Saint Faustina in Poland, who proclaimed to the world that we are living in a prolonged time of mercy based on revelations given by Jesus. He said to her, "Before I come as a just judge, I am coming first as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be given to people a sign in the heavens of this sort. All the lights in heavens will be extinguished, and there will be a great darkness over the whole earth. Then we will appear in the skies, a sign of the cross, and illuminating with as shafts of light from each of the wounds of Christ. These lights will pierce in each individual soul on earth, and for 15 minutes the whole world will be suspended, and each person will see their own consciences and their sins as God sees them. The just will be strengthened in their faith. Many will repent and seek the truth. Many will not repent, and some will die immediately at the sight of their iniquity. Let us pray then, for this mini judgment or purification where God will bring back many to the Catholic faith, what it is said is that the churches will be absolutely packed with souls wanting to have confession and to be baptized. The priests will be very few and will be very busy, and also the faithful will have to help those coming into the church. We are living in an age of sentimentalism, in an age of what we call with a Protestant mentality, which says to us, I believe, I have the faith, then I am saved. Jesus Christ suffered for all men, they say, so it is enough for me to say yes. This is true to say that Jesus accomplished all the sufferings in his violent death, but Jesus gives us our free will not to do as the world wants and live a life fueled by our passions and the pleasures of life. No, our Lord wants us to share his cross and live a life of sacrifice. Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He did not come down from the cross, and he wants us to join him. How do we value the cross then? Through the eyes of faith, we must believe that all of these crosses in our lives are a gift from God, and we must offer them up to the cross, to the wounds of Christ, to save souls. We are not just a religion of faith, but we need works. We remember in the Catechism, the Catholic Catechism, which tells us that our purpose of life is to know, to love, and to serve God, our Creator. Knowledge comes first. We can only love what we know, and the more we know, the more we love. Lastly, we exercise our free will by serving God and making works of charity for the love of Jesus and Mary. In the mentality of worldly Catholics on the wrong path, they say, okay, my relationship with God is personal, so there is no need for me even to bother to go to Mass on a Sunday. Okay, they say, I have worked hard all week. Jesus will not mind if I take my family to the beach. We can say some prayers on the way in the car. Or perhaps they may say in their mindset, I will decide to stay at home or in their bedroom and say a few prayers rushed without visiting the sacraments. This is Protestant mentality. Why? Because our faith is not based on what we feel like doing. It is, however, based on an objective truth, who is a person, Jesus Christ. He has left us his church and the commandments. And the third commandment says we must honor the Sabbath. In other words, we must go to church each week. Without a serious reason, this is a mortal sin to miss Holy Mass through neglect and laziness. We all need to wake up and realize that one mortal sin can send us to eternal damnation and the fires of hell, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let us, brothers and sisters in Christ, ask Our Lady, our model of faith, the faith itself personified, to have the grace to believe that we too can move mountains with our faith, because nothing is impossible for God. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.